Read the item, please.
Yes, item 901, amend the comprehensive plan map, zoning map, Title 33, planning and zoning, Title 18, noise control, Title 32, signs and related regulations, to create the residential manufactured dwelling park designation and base zone.
Colleagues, despite recent headlines that indicate that rent increases may be evening out or potentially even declining, that's not the case for lower cost market rate housing, including manufactured dwellings, also commonly known as mobile homes. Mobile home parks play a unique and important role, offering lower cost market rate housing, especially for larger units that can accommodate families. Because people can own their own home and only have to rent a space, a mobile home can be an affordable pathway to home ownership for lower income households. As I expect we will hear in testimony today, these mobile home parks offer a sense of community that's attractive to residents and different from other housing choices. For these reasons, the city wants to support the long-term stability of these parks. With this ordinance, the city is adopting a new approach to zoning mobile home parks. This is an emergency ordinance. An emergency exists due to the fact that Portland's continued population and economic growth have had a significant impact on rental housing, resulting in a more than 30% increase in average rents from 2011 through 2017, and consistently low vacancy rates between 1.7% and 3.3% from 2011 to 2017. Manufactured dwelling parks play a small but important part in providing affordable housing, and the incentives to promote this housing type should be available immediately. My co-sponsors, Commissioners Fritz and Udaly, would like to make a few comments. Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. I'm really happy to be here today. This work implements a comprehensive plan policy that I worked on with Mayor Hales and the community, the colleagues on the council, and with staff in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability back in 2016. And so it's exciting to see where it was 2018, just 2 years later, this is coming forward. And thanks to everybody in the community who's helped work on it and to the Planning and Sustainability Commission. The comprehensive plan policy is policy 5.37, mobile home parks, which says encourage preservation of mobile home parks as a low moderate income housing option. Evaluate plans and investments for potential redevelopment pressures on existing mobile home parks and impacts on park residents, and protect this low moderate income housing option. Facilitate replacement and alteration of manufactured homes within an existing mobile home park. So we are now routinely referring to them as manufactured dwelling parks, of course recognizing that although the word is mobile, many of your homes, these homes, are not mobile at all. They don't move, and it's hard to find a place for them to go if they are displaced. This is one of the most important forms of naturally occurring affordable housing in Portland. Some of the most vulnerable communities in Portland live there, and it's important that we respect and provide assistance for vulnerable and underrepresented communities. I believe this change carries forward the council's intent to provide incentives and options for making the parks financially viable for owners, thus allowing residents to stay there. And I'm very excited to be here. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, for bringing it forward.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Udaly.
Mayor and Commissioner Fritz, it's an honor to co-sponsor this item with you, and I think you've covered almost everything. I guess I'd just say we need a diversity of housing options, and in order to guarantee that, we need to come up with some creative incentives for creating those. So thank you for this.
Very good. We have Tom Armstrong from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability is going to help introduce today's session. Good afternoon, Tom.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. I just wanted to give a brief overview of the proposal in front of you today. you know, the city of Portland has 57 different manufactured dwelling parks. They come in all different shapes and sizes. And many of them were built in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. But as you can see from this map, many are located in East Portland and Southeast Portland, and some in the Cully neighborhood along Northeast Killingsworth. There is, with these actions today, we are rezoning 56 out of the 57 parks in Portland. There is one park up off of Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. It's called Fox Run. It's up by Delta Park. It's in the middle and surrounded by the prime industrial area, and it's actually zoned for employment use and is part of our prime industrial overlay. It's part of Metro's Title IV prime industrial overlay, and there was just a number of employment land supply issues tied up with that site that we could not, at this point in time, do the map change for that site itself. But we can take a look at that in the future once we have a handle on where we sit with our industrial land supply. As it said in the title, to implement this zoning, it requires a comprehensive plan policy amendment to create a new land use designation and to apply that to the map, the comprehensive plan map. And then as part of the zoning code, we're creating a new base zone for manufactured dwelling parks and then corresponding zoning map changes. As part of that new base zone, it will be for manufactured dwelling parks. In addition to that, we are creating a limited retail and sales and service use for recreational vehicle parks. Because sometimes those are co-located in the same facility. And then all of the other institutional categories in the zoning code that are allowed in the other multi-dwelling zones are also allowed here. So you could co-locate daycares or schools or medical facilities as part of a limited or conditional use in these zones. Also with this new zone, we are creating a number of incentives that will help support and sustain the operations of these parks. The first one is we are resolving a number of parks that are currently non-conforming uses. Right now, today, manufactured dwelling parks are only allowed in the R3 and R2 zones. And there are 17 other parks that have different zoning, and some of this goes way back to the parks were established before county zoning was applied, and then that county zoning rolled over to the city zoning when we annexed East Portland. And so these changes will resolve those non-conforming uses and make those parks an allowed use. At the same time, we are increasing the density I believe it's 52 of the 56 parks. The density recommended by the Planning and Sustainability Commission is slightly higher than what's allowed in the R2 zone today, and that will provide owners of the parks more room to expand their parks on site. And in addition to that, we are also expanding the area where that unused density can be transferred to other multi-dwelling residential sites. Currently, right now, a transfer can only happen on the same block as the site or across the street, and we're expanding that to any other multi-dwelling zone site outside of the central city. So it basically creates two transfer markets, one inside the central city and one outside the central city. So there's a wider market where this underutilized density can be transferred to. At the same time, we are creating an affordable housing bonus. As Mayor Wheeler said, and as we put in our staff report, many of the residents are lower income, and that if a park owner enters into an agreement with the Housing Bureau to provide long-term affordability for half the units at 60% of the area median income, then they'll get an additional density bonus that can either be used on-site or transferred to other sites under the other transfer provisions. We do have in front of you today a series of technical amendments. The first three technical amendments, which are in the August 20th memo from me, make adjustments that when the Planning and Sustainability Commission recommended increasing the density, maximum density, we did not chase down every reference to that density standard, and so we have an amendment to the comprehensive policy to note that increased density, as well as the base zone description. And then at the same time, when the density is raised, Metro has a standard that the minimum density required should be 80% of the maximum. And so Amendment 3 will adjust the minimum density to match that. We have two other changes that, you know, as we were preparing the council package, we discovered two changes that were inadvertent errors on our part. One is we made changes to the plan development review section to add a reference to the RMP zone where it shouldn't be, and so we want to take that out. At the same time, we deleted a reference to a minimum space requirement that we thought was in the state code, but it turns out it's not, so we want to restore it to this one. And then finally, new today, we have a substitute exhibit for the findings of fact, and this is in response to testimony that has come in so far, and we wanted to respond to that with up-to-date findings.
So, Mayor, I move that as a package.
Second.
So Commissioner Fritz moves, and let's do you want to also include six on this? Okay, good. So Commissioner Fritz moves amendments 1 through 6 as a package. Commissioner Udaly seconds the package. And with that, we can go ahead and accept public
testimony. I just want to note in the record we have a number of other supporting documents that help support making this decision today, including a review of the natural resources and hazards that exist today and are protected by our environmental zones today, and there's no change to those, as well as a memo from PBOT on the transportation impacts that might result from new development on these sites.
Very good. Commissioner Saltzman had a question.
Yes.
Yeah, Tom, so you said at the outset that the Fox Run Mobile Home Park is not part of this package?
Yes, that's correct.
Why is that again?
Because it is, it's up north in just off of MLK Boulevard. It currently is part of our, it has a prime industrial zoning designation both at the city and metro. And it's in an area where we have a pretty small surplus of industrial land, and that if we were to change that, it would take us to having less than a 1% surplus of industrial land supply. And we felt that at this time, given where we are at in terms of when we did the economic opportunities analysis and determined that we had an adequate supply of industrial land, it's been enough development has gone on in that industrial area that we did not want to take the time at this point to do all the economic studies that we needed to justify changing that that park. I will note that we expect, you know, Metro is currently adopting a new urban growth report, and we'll have a new population and employment forecast allocated to the cities at the end of this year, and that will start an update process for us that we can then factor in changing the zoning on Fox Run as part of an update to the economic opportunities analysis and come back at a later date to try and address that issue.
So, I mean, this This package is an emergency ordinance, in part because it's designed to establish some incentives today at the end of this session.
Yes.
For owners of these parks to keep them residential. So are we at risk? Is Fox Run at risk of falling through the cracks here in the interim?
Fox Run will be at risk in the interim, yes.
So what would be the harm of us including Fox Run in this package today?
I think the harm would be it would be the time it would take, and for us would have taken over the spring. We published this proposal in early May, and so it's been on a pretty fast track. And so what we opted in that decision making was holding back on Fox Run so the other 56 could go forward. With a at least a an idea as to when we could circle back and address Fox Run itself. And so we prioritized moving forward on the other 56 rather than trying to update our industrial land inventory to try and show that by changing Fox Run we would still have an adequate supply of industrial land.
Okay, I'm going to think about that as a testimony, but I guess my last question is, so you're saying that if we were to include Fox Run in the package today, that the package would not be complete and ready to move forward? Is that what you're saying?
I think there probably is not substantial evidence in the record to support that change and to continue to make a finding that we have an adequate supply of industrial land in that area and that we have not done the analysis, especially with Metro, to change the prime the regionally significant industrial area designation that it has on that, and so that it would be that site in particular would be vulnerable to appeal, and having it remanded to us.
Okay. As I said, I'm going to think about that.
Yeah.
More.
Okay. Nope.
Very good. Any further questions, folks? There's a tradition here at City Council. Those with small children, elderly, folks with disabilities, any elected officials, please let the council clerk know that, and she'll bump you up to the front of the list. How many folks do we have signed up, Carla?
Currently 16.
16. Very good. Why don't you call up the first three, and the microphones move in about this much distance is the right amount. Go ahead and leave the microphones turned on. State your name for the record. We do not need your address unless you want to give it to us, but it's not required. And if you are a paid lobbyist, we need to know that. Thank you.
The first three, please come on up, are Jay Perasco, Hannah Cruz, and John Mulvey.
When you have 30 seconds left, the yellow light will go on, and when your time is up, the red light will go on.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Would you like to start, sir?
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Jay Perasco, and I am here on behalf of JOIN, a nonprofit organization that helps Portlanders transition from homelessness to stably housed. JOIN strongly encourages you to adopt the Manufactured Dwelling Park Project. For more than 20 years, JOIN has been working to ensure that everyone in our community has a home. Each week, we help 15 to 20 Portlanders exit homelessness for stable housing. Our biggest obstacle remains our city's critical shortage of affordable housing, particularly units that are affordable to people exiting homelessness or vulnerable to falling into homelessness. Homelessness is a symptom. The underlying illness is our affordable housing shortage. And the only way to remedy, and the only true remedy is to preserve existing affordable housing and create new units, especially for low-income households. That is precisely what the Manufactured Dwelling Park Project will do. Manufactured homes are among the most affordable, low-barrier units in Portland's housing inventory. JOIN has successfully housed formerly homeless clients in manufactured homes, many of whom would still be experiencing homelessness today, but for the availability and accessibility of manufactured homes. Manufactured housing parks are the only housing option available for many people who are transitioning out of homelessness. Manufactured housing parks are also the housing of last resort for people who would end up homeless if the parks are shut down. For many of the 3,000 households, there really may be no other place to go. We need to create more affordable housing, not eliminate 56 affordable, livable communities. Today, you have the ability to preserve 3,000 truly affordable, low-barrier housing units in resilient, hardworking communities across our city. Voting yes will ensure that 3,000 households will not be at imminent risk of homelessness. We applaud Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners Udaly and Fritz for introducing this measure, all of the staff who contributed to the project, and we strongly encourage you to adopt the Manufactured Dwelling Park project today. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and members of the council. My name is John Mulvey. I'm speaking today on behalf of the Housing Subcommittee of the East Portland Action Plan, and we are strongly supportive of this measure. East Portland is home to 42 of Portland's 56 mobile home parks. That's more than 2,000 East Portland families. The residents are retirees, they're students in our public schools. They're hardworking parents trying to raise their kids in a city that is increasingly unable to provide them with an affordable place to live. These parks can be the only home ownership option for many people, especially those on fixed incomes. These homes often represent the largest financial asset that low-income families have. But mobile home parks are more than lumber and concrete. They're multi-generational communities where people look out for each other. Neighbors drive each other to doctor's appointments, and they pick up things for each other at the supermarket. They're precisely the kind of communities that our city should be supporting. But in our current real estate environment, there is intense pressure to redevelop these properties. In the last 2 years, six of Portland's mobile home parks have closed, uprooting the families that once lived there. At least two more East Portland parks may be vulnerable to redevelopment right now. That's 38 more families that are facing displacement. They need your help. They need it quickly. And I hope you'll vote to support them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. I'm Hannah Cruz, Senior Communications Manager with Energy Trust of Oregon. And thank you for taking up the proposed new zoning regulation and designation, as part of your continued focus on combating Portland's affordable housing crisis. Energy Trust is an independent nonprofit organization serving Oregon's five largest utilities and helping those customers save energy and generate clean energy. This includes the customers of Portland General Electric, Pacific Power, and Northwest Natural within the city of Portland. While Energy Trust is not in a position to support or be in opposition to proposed policies, including the zoning ordinance, I wanted to provide you with context regarding the challenges we encounter when helping manufactured homeowners and renters lower their energy use and associated utility bills. According to the Oregon Housing and Community Services, approximately 80,000 manufactured homes in use today were manufactured prior to 1978. So they were manufactured prior to codes being established and are very energy inefficient. This embedded inefficiency forces occupants to spend a disproportionate amount of their income on utility bills and limits their ability to update and maintain their homes. So to help overcome these challenges, Energy Trust is working with manufactured home builders, Oregon Housing and Community Services, nonprofit manufactured home park owners, and others to introduce a pilot program that would help residents replace their old, inefficient manufactured homes with new, efficient manufactured homes. Our incentives that Energy Trust can provide are based upon the energy savings realized over the long-term useful life of the new home. And this can reduce the residents' utility bills, and the incentive amount can also help reduce the amount of that loan principal and associated payments due to the replacement costs. But since our energy incentives are based upon the usable life of the new home, the risk of part closures and eviction reduces the likelihood that the full value of the energy savings will materialize and challenges our ability to expand our pilot program to additional sites in Portland and even beyond. So to the extent that the proposed zoning ordinance in front of you today may reduce the risk of park closures, it would provide Energy Trust with increased certainty of energy savings over the long term and assist us in expanding this pilot program. So I hope you find this context useful, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you.
The next three are Lee Reinold, Mike Connors, and Paul Scott.
Good afternoon. Would you like to start for us, please?
All right.
Thank you.
Name is Lee Reinell. And when I first moved into my place, it was not that safe. A lot of thievery and all that. But now we have a new bunch of people moving in, Mexicans with their children. And it's a really good place to live now. They help. It's a good family place now. It wasn't, but it is now. That's all I can say.
Thank you.
That's a powerful message. Thank you.
I was hoping.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Mike Connors. I'm here on behalf of Hayden Island Enterprises. They're the owners and operators of the Hayden Island Manufactured Home Community and have owned and operated that park since 1992. I've submitted written comments into the record and to each of you. Hopefully you've had an opportunity to read those, and I obviously am not going to be able to get through all those points in 3 minutes, but I do want to touch on a couple things. First of all, I just want to acknowledge the fact that my client and I understand that there's a legitimate purpose, intent behind this, and a concern about affordable housing. That's without debate. I think the disagreement or concern from my client's perspective is we don't believe that this is the appropriate manner in which to address this issue. And we believe that's going to result in unintended consequences and it's not going to achieve the purpose for which this proposal is being raised. And the main issue has to do with the primary component of this proposal, which restricts the use of these properties to manufactured home parks. By restricting the use to the existing use, which would be the first concept that the city has employed with a zoning code that I'm aware of, that's going to result in a loss in fair market value for that property immediately because you're restricting it to the existing use. And that's going to have some unintended consequences, which we don't believe that the city has really adequately evaluated. I'm going to focus on two of them in my limited time. The first one is a big one that I'm surprised I haven't heard more of a response or analysis to, and that's Measure 49. Measure 49 is a state-adopted voter initiative that provides any land use regulations that restrict the residential use of property in a manner that reduces the fair market value, provides a claim under Measure 49. And a Measure 49 claims would give the city two options, to either compensate the property owners for the loss in value or to waive the regulations. The vast majority of these parks are residentially zoned. This zoning proposal will undoubtedly restrict the residential use of them. So by adopting it in this fashion, the city has exposed itself to a number of lawsuits that park owners could file under Measure 49. I don't believe the city will have the financial resources, and so the result will be the waiver of the regulations, which will undo the whole purpose for this proposal. And the second one, very quickly, is we believe that by reducing the fair market value, you're going to undermine the financial viability of these parks. A reduction in value will make it harder for refinancing, which make it more difficult for park owners to get the necessary financing to make upgrades, and as a result of that, they're either not going to upgrade or maintain the parks the level that they do currently, or it's going to result in an increase in rent. And both of those are goals that I think are contrary to the purpose for this proposal. And with that, I'll conclude my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Hello. My name is Paul Scott, and I live at Viking Mobile Home Park in southeast Portland. I've lived in the park approximately 11 years. I own my mobile home, and I'm 76 years old. I live on Social Security retirement benefits. I'm a cancer survivor and have multiple health problems. Last year, I received a rent increase of approximately 14%. This year, I've received a rent increase of about 10%. I'm worried I will not be able to continue to live at the park if these rent increases continue, which apparently they will. In the last 4 years, we've received three letters of intent to sell the park. And in August of 2016, it was sold to the Holt Corporation, which operates out of Washington. And the first thing they did was to raise the rent 14%. The second thing was to close the laundromat in the park and try to convert it to apartments. And about July 21st of this year, I heard from my neighbors that the residents of the park had an opportunity to compete to purchase the park because we had recently received our third letter of intent to sell. Prior to this, the management had told me that the park had already been sold. On July 24th, in 2018, I and my neighbors formed the Viking Mobile Villa Residence Committee and served Cheryl Walker, the management of the owner, by mail and email a request for the park's financial statement. Ms. Walker responded with the information, but not all of the financial information we requested. In August, a committee member sent a follow-up email to Ms. Walker for the rest of the financial information. She responded by email that the 10 days is up and we do have a buyer for the property. This matter is now in the... We've requested a court injunction to halt the sale until we can provide a counteroffer. I hope that the Portland City Council and a community partner will help us to buy the park and set up a cooperative ownership or at least provide nonprofit management. It's important we have some control over our homes. And having received three intent-to-sell letters, everybody is really unsure and afraid of what's going to happen in the future.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony, all three of you. Thank you. Next three, please.
Are Anthony Noki, Oscar Cervantes, and Gloria Contreras.
Consecutively for the Spanish speakers?
Very good. Why don't you go ahead and start, please?
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, ladies and gentlemen of Portland City Council. My name is Anthony Kanoki. I am a disabled veteran representing a growing coalition of manufactured home parks. We have a gift of hundreds of postcards to deliver to you today.
Well, this, okay, that's okay. Yeah. Then I don't have to be here.
These were from the hundreds of supporters that have been supporting us. I live at the Arbor Mobile Home Park, one of the many communities the zoning law will help save. These communities are unique in many ways. Each is like a family. but we are the poor, the elderly, the mentally ill, and the disabled. You, by passage of this law, have a chance to get ahead of the housing crisis sweeping through our city. If you act boldly today and pass this in the law, it is morally the right thing to do with this housing crisis. They asked for a volunteer to do this. Here I am. I'm asking you to do the same for them and me. I served in the military and defended my country as a volunteer. Now, I volunteered again, serving and speaking for not only my community, but all the communities. Nonprofits and charities are standing by and lining up to help us. This law will affect 3,000 homes, 10,000 plus people. We need your help in this fight. Stand with us. Vote yes on this law. Save our communities. Whole families live in them. In my park, there are 5 families that own about half the park. Whole families. Grandmothers, mothers, daughters, brother-in-laws, sisters, children. They take care of their elderly. They take care of each other. They help take care of me. This crisis will become a flood if you do not vote yes on this law. You need to act. Voting yes is right to protect and save these communities. Societies are judged by how well they take care of the most vulnerable members in it. So please vote yes. Thank you.
Hola, mi nombre es Oscar Cervantes. Soy padre de 3 niños.
Hello, my name is Oscar Cervantes. I'm the father of 3 children.
Nosotros vivimos en un estacionamiento de trailers desde hace 6 años.
We live in a trailer park. We've been living in a trailer park for the last 6 years.
El motivo por cual estoy aquí presente hoy es porque quiero pedirles en nombre de toda mi comunidad que por favor nos apoyen con la propuesta de zonificación.
The reason I'm here with my whole community is I want to ask you to support this zoning proposal.
Porque es algo que nos podría ayudar a conservar nuestras viviendas y tener nuestras familias más unidas.
It is something that could help us to keep our homes and keep our families more united.
Sería muy difícil para mí y para mi familia dejar a mis amigos de mi comunidad y también para mis hijos.
It would be very difficult for me to leave my friends and my community, and it would also be difficult for my children.
Dejar a sus amigos, su escuela, que es como su segundo hogar.
To leave their friends and their school, which is like their second home.
Porque si se cierra el parque, sería muy difícil para nosotros y para más familias encontrar un lugar para nuestras viviendas.
Because if the park is closed, it would be very difficult for us and for our families to find another place for our homes.
Porque muchas de las viviendas no pueden ser movidas.
Because many of the homes really can't be moved.
Perderíamos el dinero invertido que ahorramos con mucho sacrificio para poder arreglarlas.
We would lose all the money that we've invested very sacrificially to, we've saved very sacrificially to be able to fix it.
Le hemos cambiado el siding, el techo, arreglado el patio para estar mejor con nuestra familia.
We've fixed this, we've changed the siding, we've changed the roof, and we've fixed the patio to be there better with our families.
Yo antes de vivir aquí nunca pude estar en un apartamento solo con mi familia por el alto costo de la renta.
Before this, I was not able to be alone in an apartment with my family because of the high cost of rent.
Siempre tenía que compartir el apartamento con otras familias.
I always had to share the apartment with other families.
Pero desde el día que me mudé a vivir en las trailers, dedico más tiempo a mis amigos.
But from the day I was able to move into the trailer with my family, I was able to give more children to my amigos, to my friends.
Yo asisto a la escuela para poder superarme y también trato más de involucrarme en las actividades de la comunidad.
I'm going to school to get better at things, and I'm also trying to get involved in community activities.
Mi esposa y yo trabajamos muy duro por casi 2 años para arreglar esta trailer.
My wife and I have been working very hard for almost 2 years to fix this trailer.
Saliendo de mi trabajo, siempre trabajando tiempo completo y después arreglar nuestra trailer por las tardes.
I leave my full-time job and then I go home and fix the trailer in the afternoons.
Tanto yo como otras personas hemos trabajado muy duro en arreglar nuestras viviendas.
I and other people have worked very hard to fix our homes.
Y se me hace muy injusto que otros inversionistas vengan y nos saquen de nuestros hogares.
And it seems very unfair to me that other investors come and take us out of our homes.
Solo porque no tenemos ninguna protección.
Just because we have no protection.
Somos muchas familias que quedaremos sin hogar, y yo por experiencia propia puedo asegurarles que es muy, muy duro y triste.
And there's a lot of us that would be homeless, and by my personal experience, I can tell you that it's very difficult and very sad.
Cuando no puedes darle un techo seguro a tu familia.
When you cannot give your family a safe home.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Gloria Contreras.
Good afternoon, my name is Gloria Contreras.
Vivo en Shadow Home Mobile Park.
I live in Shadow Home Mobile Park.
Que está ubicado en 7120 Northeast Killingsworth Street.
Which is at 7120 Northeast Killingsworth Street.
Tengo cuatro hijos de 16, 14, 13 y 7 años.
I have four children, ages 16, 14, 13 and 7.
Para mi familia, este es nuestro hogar.
For my family, this is home.
Hemos vivido por más de 12 años ahí.
We've lived there for more than 12 years.
Mis hijos han hecho maravillosos amigos y muy buenos vecinos.
My children have made great friends and very good neighbors.
Los cuales compartimos un jardín comunitario y la cosecha también es compartida entre la comunidad.
We share a garden with the community and we also share the harvest.
Nos cuidamos unos a otros, nuestros hogares y de extraños.
We take care of each other, our homes, and we take care of strangers.
Hay personas mayores las cuales saben que en alguna necesidad o emergencia.
There are elderly people who know that if in any kind of time of need or in an emergency,
ahí estamos para apoyarlos y ayudarles.
We will be there to support them and help them.
Tenemos acceso a clínicas, indos para fútbol de los niños, primarias, kinders, y un nuevo maravilloso parque.
We have access to doctor's offices, soccer for children, parks, and a lot of things.
Para mí, mis hijos, mis vecinos son mi comunidad.
For myself and my children, my neighbors are my community.
Solo es un poco de mi historia.
That's just a little bit of my story.
The next three are Andreas Oswill, Andre Tremolot, and Monique Smiley.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. For the record, my name is Monique Smiley, and I'm the Communications and Movement Building Director at Welcome Home Coalition. As you know, we are a regional housing coalition comprised of over 65 organizations that are committed to working with local jurisdictions to advance new and emerging funding sources to create more affordable homes. I'm here today to show my support for the Manufactured Dwelling Park project. This effect of the zone change would provide long-term housing stability for about 3,000 low-income families who could otherwise face displacement. This zone change is an opportunity to also redress the inequities in the past on land use and preserve affordable homes and parks. As you all know, housing insecurity is touching everyone in our city, and we don't have the rental stock needed. The biggest opportunity for folks who need affordable housing is the opportunity to live within their communities and to preserve their existing homes. We have a vulnerable supply right now in our region, and only a small fraction of affordable homes remain for families and communities of color. A study showed that in the largest 100 metro regions, mobile home residents spend on average 40% less on housing costs than those living in non-mobile homes in the same metro area. As residents are hard-pressed to find alternative housing at similar costs, mobile homes provide a solution for our affordable housing shortage, which is why we need this zone change in order to sustain all mobile home parks that will continue to serve future generations. Manufactured housing is an essential, unique part of the affordable housing continuum and must be preserved. They are a platform for success, and the parks provide community gathering for residents. The Welcome Home Coalition believes that Portland needs to address all the required tools to solve the housing crisis, and I urge you to advance the proposal on mobile home zoning change.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, and thank you for your patient attention today. I'm Andre Tremolay. I'm a 20-year resident of Northeast Portland and a research associate at PSU School of Urban Studies and Planning. And I can't tell you how thrilling it is to have a captive audience to listen to some words from my doctoral dissertation on the closure of manufactured housing communities from 2001 through 2007 during the last real estate boom. During that time, approximately 2,800 households were impacted when 69 communities closed throughout the state, many of them in the metro area. While I can't match the eloquent presence of the last group, what I'd like to do is to provide some facts that I learned from a detailed case study of the closure of the Thunderbird Mobile Club in Wilsonville. I discovered that that closure had both financial and non-financial impacts. Financially, 3/5 of the homeowners just abandoned their homes, typically because they were too old to move safely, moving them cost too much, or because there was no place to put them. For many, it represented a loss of their largest financial asset. Some still had a loan on the house that no longer existed, and therefore 4% declared bankruptcy. Most lost access to affordable housing. Only 8% were able to move their homes to a new location at a 2007 cost of $20,000 to $30,000 per home. But equally important, perhaps more important, was the human toll. Involuntary displacement triggered something known as relocation stress syndrome in many residents, particularly older. They were older residents. Anxiety, apprehension, confusion, depression, and loneliness. They experienced something now known as root shock, the loss of community and life-affirming connections to people in place. Most tragically, 6% of the homeowners died, a rate likely higher than the expected mortality rate for that population. Even money can't fix those kinds of impacts on the human spirit. So now is the time to act. You know that. I just wanted to add these facts and a lot of pages to the hard work that's already been done in favor of this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you.
I finished it. It was published in 2010, and Cy Adler was my dissertation chair, and it was one of a few handful of doctoral dissertation grants funded that year by the Department of Housing and Urban Development.
That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that with us. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Mayor, Council, my name is Andres Oswell. I'm a member of the Planning and Sustainability Commission, but I'm here speaking for myself today. I won't restate what others have said better than I could, but I'll focus on sharing my experience. During the time that this proposal was at the Planning Commission, Living Cully offered the members of the commission to come and take a tour, and I was fortunate to be able to see two of the mobile home parks in Cully myself. I was later invited back for a community meeting, and what I saw there showed me what the testimony today and research has told us repeatedly. These homes, these parks, aren't just inexpensive housing, they're also a source of community. They're places where families, older adults can live. They're places for people with fixed incomes. The testimony we saw was incredibly inspirational, one of the largest turnouts we've seen, and showed how important that this is to members of our community. One piece in particular that resonated with me was a mother who was talking about how living in a mobile home park allowed her to not just have a housing she could afford, but also to have a better quality of life for her kids. It allowed her to be able to take her kids to the movies, which is something that is easy to take for granted and often gets lost in conversations about meeting basic needs and necessities. It's a unique low-barrier housing type, and I think that something I appreciate about the policy is its creativity. It allows a way to preserve these parks, but also allows a financial incentive through density that could create forms of funding that would provide for maintenance that these parks need. This policy is a good first step, but further work is needed. We all know that there are problems with mobile home parks. They're not perfect, but those problems deserve the city's attention and support. I believe this is also mentioned in the Planning Commission letter. But some areas in particular I'd like to draw your attention to is increasing home repair funds. Now that this zoning changes would hopefully go into effect, there is a sense of stability and permanence with these parks that makes them a more persuasive investment for home repair funds. These homes are older and many of them need repair and replacement. We saw with Oak Leaf Trailer Park the potential for community and nonprofit ownership. I think that this will hopefully be the first. We also saw through it how complicated it is. And I encourage you to continue exploring and supporting ways that we can keep these parks in permanence. We need further tenant protections, both on a state and local level. And lastly, organizational support. Not every neighborhood has the organizational bandwidth that Cully does. They need further help organizing and supporting the residents of these parks, and even Cully needs more resources. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you.
The next three are Lisa Rogers, Rich Kaufman, and Mary Kyle McCurdy.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Was there, Carla, was there one other individual?
If Rich Kaufman is not here, the last person who signed up is Cameron Harrington.
Rich, is Rich here? He's coming from downstairs.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Sorry, go ahead.
Would you like me to start?
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Mayor and Commissioners, thank you for hearing us today. My name is Lisa Rogers, and I work with CASA of Oregon. Over the last 12 years, CASA has been working to preserve manufactured home parks through resident ownership. To date, we have converted 12 parks to resident ownership in Oregon and are working on our 14. We believe that resident ownership is the key to preserving affordability, building wealth, and building empowerment for the residents of those communities. Manufactured housing is the largest supply of affordable housing in the country. According to Prosperity Now, 74% of all residents in mobile home parks own their homes. And why this is important is because manufactured housing is, or in parks, is a kind of a, it's a hybrid, right? You got home ownership and you have rental. So in terms of you own your home, but you lease your space. And if a park closes, that home is typically either the only asset or the largest asset that these folks have. So not only are they losing their home, they're losing any wealth that they might have as well. So We really urge you to go ahead and approve this. We applaud you for bringing it up. It is a very important piece of our affordable housing inventory in Oregon. Thank you.
Can I ask you one question?
Yes.
I know anecdotally that the manufactured home industry generally, but particularly the prefab industry, has taken off here in Oregon. Are we seeing more manufacturers of mobile homes here in Oregon providing safe and environmentally sound homes?
They are building the homes to a higher level of efficiency, as well as they're much better made than they were previously. I don't believe that there are more manufactured home builders in the community now than there have been.
But there are some.
There are some, yes.
I know that when we did a project with some prefab units in Lentz about 6 or 7 years ago, they were shipped up I-5 from a place outside of Salem where they were actually built, and they were beautiful. And then they were just put on, trucks and shipped up the highway.
Yes. Yeah, and we are really actually currently piloting a project in Southern Oregon with Energy Trust of Oregon, USDA Rural Development, to replace the homes in one of the parks that have been converted to resident ownership. It's a great collaboration, and we believe we'll be able to replace many of those homes with a 1% loan and then a lot of down payment assistance through various sources to make it so that it would be affordable, because the residents in these parks are typically very, very low income. So, like I say, if they lose this housing, there's nowhere for them to go. You know there's no vacancies. There's no vacancies for anybody, let alone for poor people.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and members of the City Council. My name is Mary Kyle McCurdy, Deputy Director of 1000 Friends of Oregon. 1000 Friends urges you to support the proposed ordinance before you. We were actively involved in the Anti-Displacement Portland Coalition, which advocated for the anti-displacement policy that the city has adopted in its comprehensive plan and is reflected in Plan Policy 5.37, which specifically refers to preservation of mobile home parks. Not only is this ordinance a key component to turn that policy into action, but it also helps the city carry out its obligations under statewide land use planning goal 10, which requires Portland and all other cities to enact land use measures that encourage the availability of adequate numbers of needed housing units at price ranges and rent levels that are commensurate with the financial capabilities of Oregonians. Needed housing includes specifically manufactured dwellings. You've heard from many eloquent speakers of the human benefits of preserving the existing mobile home parks as one of the most cost-efficient and immediate impact steps that you can take. So I won't go over those, but I do want to address the issue of Measure 49, which has been raised before you. We've submitted written testimony to the Planning and Sustainability Commission, and I have copies here of testimony to the City Council as well. Addressing this in detail, I'm sure you've heard from your city attorney on this also, but briefly, we do not believe that Measure 49 poses a barrier to the city adopting this proposed ordinance. Among other things, qualifying to make or show a Measure 49 claim is more challenging than was described earlier, but nonetheless, this ordinance has built into it ways in which the value of these mobile home parks will increase to the mobile home park landowners through increased densities, transfer development credits, density bonuses for affordable housing, that sort of thing. But just as importantly, if a mobile home park landowner was able to establish a grounds for compensation under the Measure 49 statute, the city has the ability to, quote, authorize the claimant, the landowner, to use the property without application of the land use regulation to the extent necessary to offset the reduction in the fair market value of the property. This gives, we believe, the city the flexibility to tailor application of the zone to address compensation issues. Complete waiver might not be necessary. In other words, you have flexibility for how to deal with this if a case does arise on a case-by-case basis. But adopting it now also sends a message for the future and future new mobile home park land owners, because if you buy the land after this ordinance is passed, if it's passed, there is no Measure 49 claim available then. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Hi. My name is Rich Kaufman. I don't have a script or anything. I just kind of have a unique experience. Lived in Texas and close to the Austin area, and I keep hearing this Measure 49, and it seems like they went that path, and they built condominiums and, you know, made it and put profits over people. Well, what happened is the reason people come there, the art, the culture, the nice living, those people left. And now, if you look at the statistics of, you know, how much money Austin is making, it's way downhill, and I don't want to see Portland do that. And Texas ran out of water before California did. I watch lakes disappear to streams, and streams disappear, and huge forest fires, and I knew I had to get out of there. I mean, my only agenda is to stay alive. I live on a very small fixed income. And, you know, all of us, we come in today, We see the smoke. California's burning. Washington's burning. This is the place that has water. This is the place that's still here. This is why I'm here. I came here. I bought an old TriMet bus that was used in the TriMet busing system that had been converted to a coach. That's, I don't know, the depth that I'm involved in this Portland idea. And I think if we start putting profits over people, it's not going to end well. You've already had a huge influx from California, and you're going to have another. And you're going to have one from Washington and maybe Canada.